the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials Podcast from William Hill. We have got reality Rob Dixon on the line. We've also got Mr. Strictly, Andy Holding, this week as well. Welcome, Andy. You well?
I'm very well, yeah. I'm looking forward to the start of Strictly Proper. Nice to be back in the fold as well.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on. And a big special welcome to Mr. 16-1, James Hill, winning tip from Celebrity Big Brother. If I had a fanfare, Rob, I'd play it right now.
Well, I haven't got a fanfare.
I've got this music for you.
I'm not going to get another winner, am I? Before the end of the year, so I might as well dine out on this one.
Yeah, well done. No, very nice. We didn't do a podcast before the final because it was just so obvious that your tip was going to win. And I must say, I'm pretty pleased to have all that Farrah nonsense behind us. On to more classy reality TV, Strictly Come Dancing. We'll talk X Factor in a little while. But first of all, it's upon us, and it's a weird time, isn't it? Because we get that brief little bit of excitement when everyone's introduced and it goes quiet for a couple of weeks, and now we're back here. I'll run through the betting and then Andy's going to talk about some of the contestants that he likes in the betting. Peter Andre has been rock solid at the top of the market since announced, 9-4 favourite. Helen George, 5-1. Georgia May Foote is 9-1. Jay McGuinness, 9-1. Kirsty Gallagher, the same price. Katie Derham is 10s. Jamelia, 12s. Anthony Ogogo, 16s. Anita Rani and Kelly Bright are both 20s. Ainsley Harriet, Daniel O'Donnell and Ewan Thomas are 33s. And your two outsiders are Carol Kirkwood and Jeremy Vine. We've seen all the videos that have been released this week on the BBC, Andy. What have you made of them?
Yeah, some very encouraging performances early on. Of course, it's very difficult, isn't it? They're just having their first basic sessions with their partners. They're just going through the drills, getting them to sort of, get them in hold, getting into the habits that they're going to get used to in the next few weeks. So just to look at them for sort of maximum 2 minutes, it doesn't really give you a total insight to what they've been doing in the next 2 weeks. But what it does tell you is just how they're looking hold. Are they comfortable? Have they got the right basic moves? Have they got good rhythm? So really, you're just ticking the boxes and saying, well, I think he'll be okay, he'll be okay. And of course, you're looking at the partnerships as well. Which ones are likely to gel? Which ones are likely to flourish through the rest of the season? And who, of course, out of the professionals have got a good track record as well? So putting all those things together, I think you can probably whittle it down to 3 or 4 likely contestants that are going to go through the series.
Peter Andre, straight out, 9-4. He reminds me an awful lot of Harry McFly. He was 5-2 at this stage and never really looked back. If you back out Peter Andre now, Andy, chances are you'll have an odds-on shot in the final.
Well, the only problem with the Andre bandwagon, so to speak, is that I think he's going to peak very early because of his, obviously, natural rhythm. He's used to getting into routines because of his, obviously, choreography when he does his own shows as well. He's just generally a naturally gifted performer, isn't he, in front of the camera. I don't think he's going to be shy. I don't think there's going to be any inhibitions with him. And, of course, he's got a really good partner as well in Jeanette, who has got a fairly good track record as well. It's a partnership made in heaven. He's a very likeable chap. He's not very arrogant. So he's just got everything you're looking for, really, in a favourite. I think if you back him now, he's not going to drift in the betting, is he? Because he's not going to do anything silly. He's going to go all the way through to the right, to the very bitter end. You'd imagine he'd get into the final, even at this very early stage. So I certainly wouldn't put anyone off if they wanted to back him at 5-2. And I imagine bookmakers have already got quite a few liabilities on him, and they're probably wanting some of the unsung heroes to come through and challenge him, because that is the only problem. It's the journey. The ones who tend to win it nowadays have been on that famous foible journey, haven't they? Like Abby Clancy, she came from nowhere, and of course Caroline Flack at the Buffers, being in the dance-off, and she came through quite nicely at the end. So that's what the likes of Rob are going to be hoping for along the way.
Partnered with Jeanette Manrara, who was, of course, Jake Wood's partner last year. I don't know if that name brings a little shiver down your spine, Andy. But, hopefully she can. She could go, she went close-ish with Jake Wood, but maybe looking to go a bit closer this time. I mean, the talk within the show, and this is from former contestant Robbie Savage, is that there will be a male winner this year, because we've had a little bit of a run of female winners, haven't we? Two, in fact.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly that. That one lopsided. Of course, we had Harry Judd and Louis Smith beforehand.
Yes.
So it's take it or like it's a two-all draw in the last 4 years. But yeah, I think there's a good selection of males, in particular, obviously Andre. He's the key one, because we've got Jay McGuinness in there as well, who obviously is a member of a band. He's with the Alione. Alione, funny enough, has had the distinction, or the pretty poor distinction, of being out for the last 2 years. Of course, she went out with Tony Jacklin.
Yeah.
And she was out with Greg Wallace.
Yes, she was, wasn't she? Yeah.
She's going to have to book her ideas.
So she's due one, isn't she, in a way, I suppose?
I can't believe that she's going to go out with Jay, who looks as though...
She won with Harry Judd as well, I think, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She come crashing back down to earth, didn't she?
Yeah.
With a win and then two...
Just on that, Andy, we don't talk about this that often, but there must be... There's no way that's a lottery. Obviously, which dancer gets which celebrity, then that must be picked. You know, there's no way they're going to give the same person the right one. Pasha was runner-up twice running, wasn't he? I think it was 2012, 2011 with Chelsea Healy and with Kimberly Walsh. The following year, didn't do too. He had Rachel Rye, didn't do particularly well. Then wins were Caroline Flack. You know, it's almost like you see them getting the kind of the dud contestants, and they suddenly get a good one. Is that a thing, do you think, or is it just, you know, a bit my mind playing conspiracy tricks on me?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they don't want to sort of give Pasha too much glory, so to speak, and they've obviously given Carol Kirkwood. Now, not suggesting that Carol Kirkwood for 1 minute is going to be a tragedy, but you'd imagine that she'd probably be a candidate for going in the first half of the programme, just because of the other contestants being better than her. I think there is a little bit of an evening out kind of strategy with the background producers.
Yeah. Jay McGuinness is a decent price, and I think we said last week on the podcast that Robbie Savage was talking about him being the better price one if you're looking for a male winner. With that following, he could well do well. Next in the betting, the women in between those two, Helen George and Georgia May Foote, Andy. Helen George has got some BBC connections. She's appeared on quite a few different programmes. She's got some dance experience as well, musical, theatrical background. She's obviously got a chance. She'll be there or thereabouts come the end, won't she?
Well, you imagine, yeah, with that experience, whether that experience, as we've said, courtesy of the old Denise and Out factor, as we're going to call it, will stand her in good stead long term is obviously out to bat, because I just think she's going to be really good from the start, and that's probably could be her Achilles heel. Where do you go from scoring sevens and eights in the first couple of weeks just because she can dance? She's got the basics, she knows what she's doing, she's good in front of camera. She's got a good partner as well in Ali Ash. I think Ali Ash is a very popular dancer, isn't he? A professional dancer. I think he's done pretty well in the last few series. Of course, he, for want of a better word, he was lumbered with Alison Hammond a few years back last year. But, he obviously won it with Abby Clancy, so he's got a good track record. She looks very good in hold as well, what I've seen of the first clips. All goes well for their future. And they've got a good dance to start off with as well. They've got the waltz, which is something that I'd imagine that she'd be very, very good at.
What about the next in the betting, Georgia May Foote 9-1? You've got a few on this price. We've already mentioned Jay McGuinness. Georgia May Foote, Jay McGuinness, and Kirsty Gallagher. Now, when we spoke to you before, we've talked about Kirsty Gallagher a little bit, haven't we? Maybe our enthusiasm was maybe slightly dampened by her partner, who hasn't won since the opening series, I believe.
Yeah, Brendan's kind of like the love-hate dancer, isn't he, on there? I think he very much divides opinion. Some people are still having for... being a slightly arrogant character. I mean, obviously he's changed his persona in recent years, obviously being married, more settled and a little bit more gracious now. He's not so much of a handful for the judges, and of course that does stand him in good stead. I think the problem with Kirsty Gallagher, if anything, is perhaps a lack of intimacy in some of the close-up dances. She looks a little bit awkward. Like I say, it's very, very early in an hour, like a minute and a half session, just to see what they're like. But you know, I think she had problems sort of like, you know, getting up close and personal with Brendan. And when she comes to do sort of things like the rumba, expressing herself and making a sort of, getting the right shapes and the right feel to the dances, that could be a problem long term. I don't for 1 minute think she'll have any problems with the structural side of the dances and getting the steps. But yeah, that chemistry, that's the thing that might just impede her chances. Talking of Georgia May Foote, now, if you're asking me for one at this stage, who would be the dark horse of the whole programme? There is a couple, actually, both of them for the female side. And I'm actually going to put up a bet already early on. This is a real left-field bet, but I see that Rob's priced up Helen George at 4-7 for reasons that I think he's perfectly entitled to do. But he's priced up against Georgia May Foote. Now, I do think Georgia May Foote is the one that I'm expecting big things of this particular weekend. She's doing the jive. Now, I've only seen a couple of minutes of her clips with her new partner, of course, is a newbie, Giovanni. I think he's going to be the new Vincent, by the way, the Italian stallion.
Yeah.
This couple's got every possibility of going through the absolute roof. It's probably the sexiest couple on the programme. They look very, very good in training. She did the jive. She did it fantastically. For the first week, she looked unbelievable. And I'm expecting a good showing from her over the weekend. And I think that dynamic of Helen George and Georgia might be the key shift with the females throughout the course of the programme. Helen George will start off really strong, very flawless, but I think Georgia, because of her non-dancing background, will suddenly creep up on her, and I think that partnership with Giovanni is going to flourish.
Are there any others at bigger prices? I mean, other than the ones we've mentioned, we've got Katie Derham at 10-1, Jamelia at 12s, Anthony Gogo, the boxer, at 16-1, Anita Rani, 20s, Kelly Bright, 20s, Ainsley Harriet, 33s, and bigger the rest of them. Any more worth keeping an eye on from the footage that you've seen?
Yeah, definitely. We'll stay on the female theme. I think I've highlighted Georgia, who's going to give Helen Georgia run for her money. And I also think that the Katie Durham, Kelly Bright axis there, that betting there, could be arguably skewed slightly. I think it's a very good acquisition, if you like, for Anton this year to get to Katie Durham, someone who's very poised. She looks an elegant girl, got great legs as well, looking at the video clips. I think personality-wise, they've got great potential, those two. They're doing the jive for the first week, so that should get them off to a good start. Anton deserves a good partner, and I think he's got one. So that could go quite deep into the programme. But up against Kelly Bright in that match bet, I do think this is another one that could come sneaking up on odds compilers. Don't forget, she's with probably the most popular male dancer on the programme for likability, Kevin Clifton.
Because he's from Grimsby, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he's a down-to-earth character, but he's got a great personality. He always gets the best out of his partners. Very enthusiastic guy. He had Susanna Reid for his first year, finished runner-up. And then, of course, last year he took Frankie Ridge all the way to the final. So already he's gathering up a real good profile. He's been given a really good dancer this year as well. Kelly Bright, of course, for those that don't follow. EastEnders is the proprietor behind the bar of the Queen Vic. And she's got a lovely, elegant body as well. Very, very. And, of course, they're both the very same height as well, which I think is going to make life very easy for Kevin. And I think Soapstars really do well. I think that's because they're always reading scripts and they're always reading lines. So they've got to learn very quickly. So I think the steps will come very good to her. And I think these two could be the surprise package at a very big price. I'm not just suggesting for 1 minute she's going to win it, but in that match bet with Katie Durham, not sure how far that can go. 8-15, 11-8, that's a bit of a no-brainer for me. I think Kelly Bright's 11-8 is definitely the bet there.
Interesting one. We talked a bit about Jamelia before the series started as well. Another one who she's a popular, she's on a lot of TV shows, she's very popular. Is she another one who could go quite deep, but then might be found out later on? There's a lot of women in this, isn't there? You know, women contestants who could feasibly knock each other out, Rob. You know, we always talk about this, like, you know, different acts taking votes away from themselves. And the way Andy's just described that, you know, people could almost get confused between contestants here at times, couldn't they?
Yeah, this is the most open, as far as the female part of the show is concerned, this is probably the most open female contestants that we've had the last few years. You're looking at your people like Denise Van Outen, people like that who were at the top of the market from the start. This top woman market is really tight. I mean, Helen George, deserved favourite for me, sort of just for the top female prices, the 9-4 for her to be top female. But after that, it's so close around. Obviously, Georgia May Foote, 4-1. Kirsty Gallagher has gone well in training, 9-2. Katie Derham, we were just talking about him with Andy. Katie Derham has been the sort of real mover of the market, so to speak, 33-1 when she was announced, now as short as 10-1. She's 5-1 for top female. Jamelia, again, 5-1 for top female. And as Andy said, you can't really rule out Kelly Bright, Anita Rani at bigger prices. So, Yeah, I think the first sort of 2-3 weeks is going to be important for the women to see where they are really on the pecking order of the show. Which ones are they going to sort of really push? Which ones do they feel aren't going to make the journey as gone? But I mean, there's so many with sort of journey potential in there. It's going to be really tight.
We both got journey in.
Yeah, journey. As long as you get the word journey in, it's fine. Let's have a look at that first elimination market then, shall we? Not surprisingly, we've basically just tipped the outright betting on its head. So Jeremy Vine is the favourite here at 100-30. Carol Kirkwood 7-2. Daniel O'Donnell 9-2. I suppose it is a little bit different because Jeremy Vine and Carol Kirkwood actually are the same price to win it. Yet he's the favourite in the elimination. Ewan Thomas 7-1. Ainsley Harriet 8. Anita Rani 14. Anthony Gogo same price, as is Kelly Bright. Then 20-1 and bigger the rest of them. Just going back over previous series. First out last time round was Greg Wallace, first out in 2013. Tony Jacklin, Johnny Ball went first in Series 10, so a man has left first in each of the last three seasons. Before that it was Edwina Curry, Goldie in 2010, Martina Hingis, God, remember that, 2009, Phil Daniels in 2008, Brian Capron in 2007. You get it, what I'm getting at here. A lot of men go first here, Andy, don't they? I don't know why that is, other than the fact that they're worse dancers. Maybe it's just because they're shown up more, because it's harder to dance as a man in a couple like this.
Yeah, I think so. Other than Goldie, I think there's one big trend amongst those ones you've just read out, and that's age.
Yeah.
Age is a massive key thing. I think a lot of the voters tend to go for the younger celebrities. And I think that's going to be the case again this year. I mean, you look at the favourites to go. It's fairly obvious, isn't it? Jeremy Vine, Carol Kirkwood, Daniel O'Donnell, all in the same age bracket. Without looking up their ages, you'd imagine in and around the 50 mark. So one of those three is definitely going to go. I don't think there's going to be any surprise packages. Out of them, I think Carol Kirkwood's the least likely to go. She's with a great partner, Pasha. Who's going to vote Pasha off? I think there's a lot of people that genuinely like Carol Kirkwood. I think there's a lot of warmth towards her.
A lot of people wake up with her in the morning and all that sort of stuff, don't they?
Absolutely. Not me personally, but I can see where certain disposition are coming from. she gets to perform the cha-cha first time out. It's quite a cheeky dance, isn't it? It brings out a personality in someone. She's quite a happy-go-lucky girl, so I can't imagine for the life of me that she'll go. So it's a straight fight, isn't it? I think this first to go market looks a head-to-head between Jeremy Vine and Daniel O'Donnell. I think Daniel O'Donnell is going to be the chief leader of the dual personality prize, because I just don't get him at all.
Housewives favourite though, isn't he, Andy?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? The old housewives favourite, but I mean, obviously he's going to get the Irish vote as well, and that's going to be a major factor. So we're led to believe. Unfortunately for him, he's been lumbered with Christina, and I say that in the kindest of possible fashions, because Christina, as we know, has been in the headlines for whether she has or not been a bit of a man-eater in the last year or two, splitting up marriages. It's just the kind of thing that the knives in the back women that vote on these kind of programmes love to get their own little bit of a revenge. They just don't like sort of like cougar women nicking their men kind of attitude. And I think Daniel's going to be in trouble in the first week or two. If he doesn't dance very well, regardless of his Irish vote, I think it could be a goner. I think Jeremy Vine is also another candidate. He's got the cha-cha, probably one of the worst dances for someone like Jeremy, who's got no dancing background to try and achieve first time up. Very much exposes bad choreography and bad technique. I think if he was in hold, he'd have half a chance. Whether he's that popular as well, I don't really know. Obviously, he does a radio show, but that many people listen around about 12 o'clock of the day and, you know, sort of want to get behind him, I wouldn't be so sure myself. So I think it's a bit of a toss of the coin between the two. If I had to split mistakes, that's the way I'd go. I think it'll either be Jeremy Vine or Daniel O'Donnell.
Which way do you go on this one, Rob?
I would personally, I think I'd go the other way. I think the value would probably be Daniel O'Donnell too. I don't think the Irish vote's going to be as much as it's sort of made up to be. I think he's the one to, of the two that I've seen, he's the one I think would struggle more over the competition in it. I was going back to obviously the female dance partners, and it's interesting with Chris. You look at who Christina Rianoff's had in the last 3 years. Had like Colin Salmon, Ben Cohen, Simon Webb. This is a little bit of a turnaround. She's now gone with the older sort of celebrity, and I just wonder if it's, I don't know, maybe it's, we were talking a bit earlier about sort of how they pair up the professional partner with the celebrity, and I just feel that maybe Christina's got the sort of poor end of the stick here, and I think she might be heading for an early exit after getting to the final last year.
Yeah, more time to flog the book then, I suppose, isn't it? I think I'd go along with that, actually. I think if I had to pick between the two of them, I think I'd go Daniel O'Donnell. I mean, I think the fact that, you know, the fact that he's on the BBC, I guess, Jeremy Vine, and the fact that whether it's many people listening or not, and the fact that he's got, I think he's got about 300,000 Twitter followers. Daniel O'Donnell, I know he's a housewife's favourite, in inverted commas, but he's kind of yesterday's man, isn't he, a little bit, really. I was having a look on Twitter to see if there are any, if Daniel O'Donnell was on Twitter. He isn't. And if there are any fan groups on Twitter. And so I found Daniel O'Donnell, the official fan page, 1,532 followers, which isn't an awful lot anymore, is it?
No.
Last tweeted 2009, so I think I'll be playing that 9-2 as a first elimination personally as well. If I had to pick any of the three, interestingly enough, Andy, just going back to those men who go, Goldie's 50 as well. I mean, he's 50 this year, so he was obviously a bit younger before, but even he kind of fits into the slightly older guy bracket as well. So there's definitely a you could almost imagine in 3 years' time, and we're still doing this, guys, I look back and go. And the first male to go in 2015 was Daniel O'Donnell. Oh, do you remember when he was on it? So he kind of he fits, doesn't he?
he's the oldest male contestant. Him and Carol are both 53 put some meat on the bones there.
Interesting.
Jeremy Vine is 50.
Well, plenty to go on there. As Andy's mentioned, those series match bets are there. There's top male, top female, first elimination, the gender of winner, and those outright prices as well. So check them all out on the specials pages. Before we let Andy go, we're going to have a quick chat about the X Factor as well. We saw the first weekend of boot camp, and boy, did it go on. We have refreshed betting on the outrights. Louisa Johnson, 3-1. Kira Weathers, 9-2. Fourth Impact, 9-1. Sean Miley Moore, 10-1. Simon Lynch is 12s. Chloe Page, 14s. So is Josh Daniel. Che Chesterman, 16-1. Alien, 20-1. Anton Steffens is the same price, along with Lauren Murray. Men on Point, Monica Michael, the First Kings. And then 25 to win at 1 and bigger. The rest of them... Rob, it was I suppose what we're looking out for now is the edits and see who features more than others do, I guess. That's what I'm looking at. You know, who do we keep seeing little flashes of in the background? Who is always first up on the VTs at this show? That's what we're looking for.
We saw a little bit of their theory of how they were going to do it this week with Louisa Johnson. They split into groups. For people who weren't listening, you have to pick a male, a female, an over and a group in your group, and obviously perform to the four judges. And it was interesting that once again Louisa Johnson seemed to have got the pimp slot. She was in the last group of the 13 groups that they featured.
And boy, did they show a lot of her on the VTs.
Yeah, it was a strange thing because they seemed to focus more on the people who didn't get through, and the idiot who was on in the first group, Ryan. Rutledge, I think his name was, and it was strange that they went that way where they didn't really focus on the main groups. There were a few that they wanted. They obviously, I remember Lauren Murray, who didn't give the greatest performance, but they came to at the end and said, we expected better from you, which means that hopefully that they're setting up a few stories for the next round of boot camp, which we see this week. But Louisa Johnson, after getting the pimp slot on the first audition show, then she's got the pimp slot again at this stage, and that's half reflected in the fact that she was 5-1 before the show, and she's pretty much almost halved in price now, and is 3-1 to win the whole thing.
Andy, what have your thoughts been on the early stages of X Factor? Have you got someone that you've latched onto? For me, there's no one who's absolutely standout. Usually by this point, I'm absolutely smitten by one contestant. No one's really done that to me yet this time.
No, I must admit, I'm a little bit behind the eight ball catching up because I've been away on holiday, so I've still got to see the boot camp. I've seen all the auditions in the stadium in Wembley. And I've got a little bit of an early impression of who I like and who I don't like. I must admit, without seeing the boot camp recordings, I quite like Simon Lynch up to that point. He was the standout vocalist for me from the male side of it. He just got a lot of likability about him. He almost a little bit Will Youngish in many respects.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Around about 14 in one shot. He'd been my early stab. I could certainly see why Louise's favourite. I mean, she looked spectacular, didn't she? And I'd imagine she was just as good on the boot camp. But yeah, Simon Lynch. Hopefully he'll get into the live shows, because I think if he does, and I think his voice is going to be he's going to stand up to the closest scrutiny.
Yeah, no, it's good a shout as any, because I think it's all been concentrated a lot on the women this series so far. Yet we haven't seen an awful lot from the male contestants, I don't think, Rob. Do you?
No, not at all.
I mean, there's Anton Steffens, who's the older kind of guy, you know, who was very good and all that, and there was Che Chesterman, but again, no one really stood out to me. I mean, maybe Josh Daniel was the only one. Josh Daniel, Andy, was the one who I thought he was excellent, actually. Whether he can go very far, he was the one who made Simon cry, of course.
Well, it's incredible how many YouTube clips he's got from it for that audition. I think so. It's almost up to 10 million, isn't it?
Amazing. Only because of Simon crying, but well, he's still been seen, hasn't he?
But even so, that's still an incredible pull, isn't it? And, you know, at the end of the day, 10 million people have seen him. So good, probably 8 million more than many others. So he's obviously got a little bit of a following already. But yeah, his voice is just as good. So that could be a little match, interesting little matchup. But like I say, very, very early days. Mm. I usually, my first bets, I've usually got an idea of who I'm going to go with. But usually I'll start getting stuck in after the first couple of live shows. But then I'm pretty convinced. So that's probably pretty much how I'll play it. But that Simon Lynch is definitely number one on my shortlist at the moment.
Rob's put out some enhanced favourites doubles for X Factor and Strictly. So Louisa Johnson and Peter Andre to win X Factor and Strictly is 16-1. Kira Weathers and Peter Andre is 20s. Louisa Johnson and Helen George is 25s, and Kira Weathers and Helen George is 40-1. So thank you for those, Rob. We're going to have a little chat about sports personality, Andy. So, I mean, you've probably got better things to do. I mean, you're welcome to stay. You're welcome to stay. But if you want to go, it's fine.
I'll just leave you with those two match bets as my sort of like my ones I'd be the most confident about leaving you with this week. Georgia Mayfoot at 5-4 over Helen George. In particular, probably my nap of that quintet would be Kelly Bright to beat Katie Durham at 11-8.
Very good. Thank you for your time, Andy, and we'll look forward to speaking to you throughout the series.
Yep. Cheers, bud.
Cheers, Andy. Sports Personality of the Year, then, Mr. Dixon. We talked last week about Team of the Year, and there's been a bit of movement there, hasn't there, with the GB team, as we've predicted. You know, the GB team are the ones to keep an eye on in terms of the tennis, and now they're the 8-15 favourites, 9-4, I think they were last week when we talked about it. The England men's cricket team have gone 3-1. The England men's rugby team, 5-1, same price as they were. England women's football team, 14-1. I tell you what, if this was a public vote, I think that England women's football team would be a great bet. As it is, it's not a public vote, is it? It's decided by one of these panels. I mean, the GB Davis Cup team, I mean, you wouldn't be backing them at 8-15 because, you know, they've still got to win the thing. You know what I mean? It's one of those, maybe an overreaction. And, you know, if they're playing Belgium on clay in Belgium, you know, it's not an absolute certainty that they're going to win that, is it?
I kind of think it is a bit, actually. They're in the 4-11 to win the Davis Cup now, and Belgium aren't as strong as they were sort of 2-3 years ago.
If Murray does his hamstring in between now and then, you won't be back in the 8-15,
exactly,
will you?
Whatever price you are, if Andy Murray does get injured, and that's the important part of this. Once taking Murray out of the thing, and there isn't really that many. There's not really that many options, because the way Murray's playing at the moment, he's guaranteeing 2 points for us every time. So you've only got to find 1 point out of either the doubles partnership, which he played with his brother Jamie last week, or getting something out of Dan Evans, Jamie Ward, whoever's going to be in the who's going to hit that final slot.
Yes. We've had a good discussion in the office with one of our colleagues, Dave Kellner, one time of this parish, this podcast. He had a bet on Andy Murray to actually win Sports Personality of the Year each way, based on the idea that the GB Davis Cup team could win. It'll be huge. It'll be just before the actual, probably one of the closest events to the actual ceremony. So I guess, you know, and what we've just said is what everyone says. Really, this is Andy Murray versus Belgium. That's a bit harsh on the other GB players, of course, but you get the idea. 7-1 at the moment with William Hill, quarter of the odds for a place in the top three. So he's the same price as Chris Froome and Lewis Hamilton. Now, Chris Froome cannot be the same price as Andy Murray. in my opinion. Chris Froome, just no one really knows who he is still, despite what he's been through this year. And I think maybe, you know, I don't even think the kind of the trials and tribulations he had from the French public will gain him any favour. Lewis Hamilton, 7-1, of course. You know, he's obviously done fantastically well in this this competition before. I think when you do something a second and third and whatever time, I think it kind of loses its tinge. We know Mo Farah ain't going to win the thing at 8-1. So it's not a bad shout, is it, Andy Murray?
Yeah, I just wonder if... I mean, you've got to realise what Andy Murray's already done in his career, and however much the Davis Cup would be a great sort of performance, you're voting for an individual person. Are you detracting from the team if you vote for one person for sports personality? What if it gets to 2-2 and Dan Evans or somebody wins the final rubber? What price would he be then for sports personality of the year? Does it all come down to...
Maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't be backing it at 7 based on the idea that A, he's already won it before. And I just can't see... I struggle to see the fact that once he's won Wimbledon, he's won like US Open. Mm.
I think Jess Ennis wins it hands down, but I can see how it might be an interesting... You know, when top three betting comes out, I think he'll be a shoo-in for a top three should they win the Davis Cup.
Yeah,
The Belgian team, by the way, is Steve Darcis, Ruben Benelens, David Goffin and Kimme Koppijns.
GB have got the edge there through the ranking. I mean, Darcis is a decent player.
Yeah. And let's be fair, if you read out Jamie Murray, Andy Murray, James Ward, Daniel Evans, and possibly Dom Inglet. You know, and again, Andy Murray apart, Belgium would wipe the floor with those four.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Jamie Murray, he's got a decent...
Good in
decent
the doubles, double, yeah, of course, yeah.
A decent doubles ranking if he plays with either Andy Murray or Dom Inglet. So they've probably just got... If you say that Murray's going to win two, then it's just that final third slot, isn't it? The doubles becomes crucial. Whether we play Murray in the doubles like they did against Australia or not, it's up to them. But that's probably going to be the biggest call that they're going to have on there. But I suppose you've got... I mean, where are we? It's end of November, aren't you, for the finals? Is that before the World... That'd be before the World Tour finals, isn't it? At the O2 with Murray. I mean, after his performance last year, it's something that I think he wants to go out and do very well in this year. So, yeah, I mean... You've got to stay injury free, I think, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, and then who knows? Tennis may be coming home.
Indeed. I think that'll do us, Rob, for today. There's loads more on the specials pages that Rob's priced up, so if you fancy having a gander at it all, and obviously be our guest. I mean, you know, I'll run down a few of the things: The Voice, Oscars, Christmas specials, Q Awards, film specials, James Bond specials, the RIBA Sterling Prize, the Man Booker Prize, the Turner Prize, financial specials, royal specials, Olympic specials, and the next Pope.
I've done well on my 2 weeks off, haven't I?
Yeah, very well. Whoever's holding the fort is holding it very well for you. Do you want to give him a little shout out, whoever it is?
No, not really.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
I hope we'll see you in the studio next week. In the meantime, if you're wanting to tweet Rob or myself on Twitter, it's @reality_Rob. Mine is @LeePhelps. We'll be talking about Strictly and X Factor over the weekend, no doubt. I still can't get Andy Holding on Twitter. Whatever you think of the shows over the weekend, then let us know. And if you're having a bet on any of them, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.